Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome into the Believe in Steelers show. Very special guest on today's show. Before we get to today's guest, let's tell you about today's presenting sponsors. Today's episode of Believe in Steelers is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Tournament time is here. March Madness is underway. If you want to bet on any of the college basketball action, BetOnline.ag is the place to do it. Use our promo code Believe, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Believe in Steelers is also brought to you by Cut.com. It's a peer-to-peer social betting app. So if you place a wager on the game and you want to share it with friends, family members, talk a little bit of smack, Cut.com allows you to do just that. To get started at Cut.com, use our promo code Believe Steelers. That's BLEAV Steelers. All one word. You can see that on your screen right now. To get started at Cut.com. Welcome into the Believe in Steelers show. My name is Mark Bergen, and very excited to welcome in today's guest. He is Joey Christopoulos from Believe in Bears. Joey, good to see you, my friend. And we're going to be talking a lot about this Justin Fields trade. How are you?
Mark, great to be back on the show. Thank you so much for having me. I'm here to atone for my terrible movie trailer picks from the Super Bowl. Previously on Believe in Steelers, my last appearance here. Excited to talk to you. Look, I've been talking a lot about Justin Fields, not just on my own show, Believe in Bears with co-host Corey Wooten, but on other Steelers pods. Excited to be here. I'm going to pull this joke again. I feel like this Justin Fields situation for me is like, I feel like I'm on like Love is Blind, the reunion show, or like Housewives reunion show, where they like, we're doing like a retrospective and like we're cutting the clips of like, you said this and you said that, but I'm happy. The Bears, the Chicago sports civil war is over. Justin Fields is now on the Steelers. Happy to talk to you about it and be with you today.
We can atone for your sins, Joey. And I thought that we were getting a Fast and Furious and a Mission Impossible this summer. So you're not alone. You are not alone, my friend. Where do you want to start this conversation? Where do you want to start? And honestly, here's where I'm at is like, at this point, why not hang on to him? And I get that you're in media market three. The Bears don't have anyone with the fortitude in the front office to say, here's what we're doing. I would hang on to him and wait for one of the quarterbacks to get hurt and you get better value. But when I see that, like, Sam Darnold has better value when he got traded from the Jets to Carolina, or Desmond Ridder, or all these other quarterbacks that yielded more. Kenny Pickett got more than a conditional sixth-round pick. I don't understand what the impetus was to make this deal now. I did say before the start of free agency at the Combine is when I would have dealt Fields, but like, that's kind of my two cents worth. What say you, Joey Christopoulos? Take it away, because we can go in a number of directions here.
It's been a wild off season, both for Pittsburgh and for Chicago. Once again, we kind of find ourselves a little bit like, kissing cousins in this situation, where there were a lot of people in Chicago, honestly, that were saying, you know, maybe go out and sign Russell Wilson and trade Fields, or keep Fields and go Russell Wilson, trade for the haul. Now, all of a sudden, the Chicago Bears possibly drafting Caleb Williams. A lot of talk now is, should the Bears sign Ryan Tannehill? Have you heard that in Pittsburgh recently?
Who's going to be the backup for Caleb Williams? That's good. That was one of the questions I had for you tonight.
It might be Ryan Tannehill. Okay. If they go out and maybe sign him as a vet, right now they have Brett Rippon on the roster, obviously backed up for the Rams the last couple of years. Obviously have Tyson Bagent, who, look, if Caleb Williams goes down and Tyson Bagent is your season, you are screwed. But back to your point about why these things happened and why Justin to Pittsburgh and why for the compensation. There is something that's going on that I find really interesting. And to be honest with you, this could be PR spin. And I could be doing it for the Chicago Bears. But Mark, you know this, that when general manager Ryan Poles took over for the Bears, I mean, the dude was cold-blooded. I mean, it was like a scene from The Godfather. Traded Khalil Mack, said goodbye to Akeem Hicks, showed the door to Allen Robinson. That very next
Roquan
season. Roquan Smith, Robert Quinn. So when you're a general manager young and you're trying to make some deals right now, the Larry Ogunjobi thing also too as well fell apart due to medicals, but also what exactly went on there. So there is a sentiment out there, and Michael Wilbon put it out there, and I agree with it, that I do think that the Chicago Bears had to start creating a little bit more goodwill that isn't tangible with the fan base, but more tangible with the players, about saying, you know what, if we are going to let go of a player like Justin Fields that we had invested in as an organization that a fan base does enjoy, that is actually a good person, that does have potential, it wouldn't hurt to, again, do right by the player and get him to a destination that he preferred. And if it is for a sixth-round pick that turns into a fourth-round compensation, which we'll get to, because I think that he could definitely hit that number this year for sure on the Pittsburgh Steelers of 51 snaps, I don't think it's the worst plan in the world to try and do right by a player and sign a guy also like Jalen Johnson and then bring in a guy like Caleb Williams and start to kind of turn around that mantra a little bit of the Chicago Bears are in business to work with players to get them paid, and you want to play in a place like Chicago. I'm not saying that's the biggest reason why it happened. I'm not saying that's what's best for the Chicago Bears organization, but I'm not upset like tossing that story out there that it was a good move for the Bears to try and get to Justin Fields, a place that he wanted to go to. Now, do I think that the Giants should have been calling? Yes. The Seattle Seahawks should have been calling? Yes. The Las Vegas Cleveland Raiders before, should have been calling.
Cleveland before the Jameis signing. Yeah, right. Like, we can go down the list to where during the combine, Joey, I would have been on the phone and say, give me your best and final, and we're going to make the move now to get 75 cents on the dollar for Fields in a favorable situation that he wants to go to versus to say, I want 150 cent, I want $1.50 on the dollar. And when the dust settled with free agency and Kirk Cousins went to Atlanta and, okay, maybe Minnesota has an opening, you're not going to trade him within the division. There were no suitors for him.
Yep.
There were no suitors for him.
Gardner Minshew to the Raiders, submarines your plan. And that's a fair point. Maybe Ryan Poles also overplayed his hand to the Pittsburgh Steelers' advantage. That's a very fair counterpoint as well.
I don't even understand why the Bears front office picks up when they see the 412 area code calling their front office after the Chase Claypool deal.
We role played this. Remember?
I'm going to be serious at this point. Like, I don't understand. Like, do the Steelers have blackmail on Ryan Poles and the Bears? Again, here's where I land. Right, if Matt Eberflus flames out this season, he's gone after this year. Who has the cachet in that organization to say, you know what, we're going to hang on to Justin Fields right now. And let's block out the media noise. Maybe this is very meatball of me to say this, Joey, because you're in the third largest media market in Chicago behind New York and LA. I understand that. But why not hang on to him when and trade a player when his value is highest? That did not happen here. And okay, the 51% of snaps, the reason why Russell Wilson's going to get the first crack is because of this. I think if you're the Steelers, you evaluate, okay, where are you at after four games? Where are you at after eight games? I would like to see an open competition, may the best man win, but I think Russell Wilson's going to get the first shot because, okay, then we only have for two reasons. It's not just the sixth round pick, but if Fields doesn't play either, I don't expect Pittsburgh to pick up the fifth year option between now and May 2nd. If he doesn't play on the field, he can't demonstrate how much he'd be worth out on an open market, and it diminishes his value as a quarterback in this league to where you can then negotiate a more favorable deal if Justin Fields stays in Pittsburgh long-term beyond the 2024 season. If he's playing and he plays at a high level, then some other organization is going to overpay at the quarterback position, because the fact of the matter is Pittsburgh, between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, are paying both of those players less than $5 million for the 2024 season.
And that's what's going to be so fascinating, Mark, heading into training camp for the Steelers, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers owe Russell Wilson nothing. They owe him nothing. They owe him the salary of a backup safety, of a fourth wide receiver. But again, it would behoove the Pittsburgh Steelers to have him start the year. And I think Justin Fields could go for a reset at this point. I don't think it would hurt Justin Fields to just sit for a little bit, maybe absorb Arthur Smith's offense, learn the Steeler way, you know, kind of hang out a little bit. But there is going to come that breaking point, Mark. And that's what's so fascinating. And I'd love to hear your take on this. Is they have to find out what they have in Justin Fields this season. And it is going to be interesting. You mentioned week four, week five, week six. The Steelers are 2-2. Let's say the Steelers are 3-1. You got to stick with Russell Wilson, right? At some point, though, you do have to see what you have in Justin Fields. It's going to be so fascinating to see how that kind of unfolds itself, not just through training camp, but through September and specifically October.
Definitely. I'm with you there. I'm with you there. And Russell Wilson's playing for that one last bag as well. So that's to where if one of them's not performing at the level that you like, you can put the other player in. Now, I'll say this too with Fields. Okay, what does the best that Fields could look like as an NFL quarterback? I would imagine it would be a lot like playing like Russell Wilson did earlier in his career, running around, making plays, extending plays with your legs, making passes downfield to where maybe he can learn a little bit. They're going to have to learn new systems in Pittsburgh. I came down when the Pickett trade came down, it was like general manager Omar Khan had really three options to make. It was a Fields trade. It was signing Ryan Tannehill, who's still a free agent. It was signing Josh Dobbs. Those were really his three options at that point in time. And you make this trade for Fields. And I've been saying for weeks now of like, who are the Steelers competing against? If I was Poles, I would have gotten out ahead of the free agent market. Maybe you don't quite get as much as you would have wanted, because you remember like a month or two ago, it was getting floated out there by Adam Schefter saying, oh, the Bears think that they could get a first round pick. And that to me is all coming from the Bears front office and the Bears brass. Clearly it was nothing near that, but if you could have gotten, say, a second or third round pick. And again, I get that Ryan Poles is trying to save face here, saying, oh, we wanted to get Justin to a spot that it best suits for him. I don't really buy that. I'm going to be honest with you. I do not buy that for a second.
It's a fun way to spin it, though, right? At the end of the day, we'll never know the process. I mean, there's some people that say, you know, Ryan Poles has been looking at Caleb Williams for 2 years. There's other people that say that, you know, there were some things that they had to kind of, they were in the red zone on it, and they had to push it over the goal line. And I don't know how that times up exactly with Justin's trade market and the decision that they had to make. Going back to what you're talking about with Justin Fields' ceiling, in my opinion, and the player that he can possibly be, I think Russell Wilson is a great comp. Personally, I think with Justin Fields, it's going to come down to winning football games, because I have said this, and Corey Wooten has also said it from the beginning of his career. And unfortunately, it has been the scarlet letter on his career for all the fantasy freaks out there. And look, numbers do mean something. Production means something. But Justin Fields' best day is Cam Newton. And if you remember correctly, Cam Newton was always the type of guy who would throw for about 195 yards, but he'd rush for about 65. He'd punch one in with his legs. He'd throw one with his arm. He'd have multiple touchdowns. He'd probably give you 250 all-purpose yards. There's a big number out there that Justin Fields has only thrown for over 300 yards once in his career. Okay. But he's got about 8 or 9 games where he's got about 250 to 280 all-purpose yards with his legs and his arm. Yep. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about 60 feet. Okay. I get it. Arbitrary numbers, 300. That's a great way. But honestly, Justin Fields, I just don't think is ever going to be that guy that's going to sit back there and chuck the ball around 40 times a game. I just don't see it. I think he's going to be more of that guy who's going to have to throw for 200 to 230, hopefully get you 30, 40, 50 yards with his legs and try and give you that multi-dimensional aspect to win some football games. And honestly, in the Pittsburgh mold, he also has a couple of things that kind of remind you of Big Ben a little bit. When you talk about pocket escapability, when you talk about being a guy that's hard to bring down in the pocket and extending plays, he's got a little bit of that Big Ben in him. I'm not saying it about the arm. I'm talking about strictly about extending plays.
The mobility.
So for Justin Fields, I think it's going to be more about wins, which he didn't get a lot of in Chicago, which I don't think was 100% his fault. We can walk through that.
It wasn't.
We can walk through that. If anybody wants us to do that, trust me, I can do that all day long. But I just don't think the passing yards aren't going to be necessarily there. I don't think he'll get to that passing production that Russell Wilson ever got to. But I think that's the type of expectation that Steelers fans need to kind of wrap their heads around, because yards are yards. You got to get touchdowns. You got to win football games. I think that's what's going to matter the most. And that's what's going to be the most important for Justin Fields' success, whether it's with the Steelers or with someone else.
Let's also consider who his receivers were, especially for the first 2 years of his career. Robinson and Darnell Mooney. Like, do you remember?
Allen Robinson out the door with a foot injury. First of all, on that first year, the second year, they signed Dante Pettis, Byron Pringle, Equanimeous St. Brown. Those were his best receivers.
You're naming names. I love it. I love it, Joey.
And then the third year, they bring in DJ Moore. He has a career season. Cole Kmet has a career season with Justin Fields. So I get it. Okay, I get it. Justin Fields, the passing yards aren't exactly there. But 52% of those passing yards went to Kmet. I know. It's a weapons thing. And I guarantee you, George Pickens with Justin Fields, I can already see a lot of success there, without even them getting together for a snap. So
I get the durability concerns. I get the turnover concerns with Fields, but he was not set up for success in Chicago, period. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, and I know it was a different coaching staff that's there now, but I just have to pop on the tape from his very first NFL start where an off the couch Jason Peters is trying to block Myles Garrett up front. The Browns had 9 sacks in a game. Is a rookie.
And no max protect, no chip help. It's literally 4 wide receivers and 4 offensive linemen and Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney eating on a rookie quarterback. The dude goes 2-8 his first year.
Yeah.
And they want to blame Justin Fields when you're also trying to say that Matt Nagy wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
The second season, they were transparent. General manager Ryan Poles, transparent that what do we need to see from Justin Fields? We just want to see him run the offense and take, and just try and be a leader in the locker room. He didn't even say anything about production wise. They purposefully tried to lose in that second season. They did not try and help Justin Fields. This third year, I will admit, they tried to give him some more pieces. They drafted Darnell Wright. They bring in a DJ Moore. Okay, I get it.
Trade, which didn't work, but at least you tried. Tanyan
didn't work. You tried something. And they won 7 games. He was responsible for 5 of them. It wasn't good enough. His fourth quarter numbers were bad. But that's the only real material test that we have or evidence that we have of Justin Fields. When I think that the dude probably deserves more time. I get it. 30 starts, third year in the NFL. The dude's only 24 years old. I still think that there's a lot in there. And I think it's very fair to say the Chicago Bears did Justin Fields dirty. Whether he becomes a success or not, I mean, they did him more dirty than they did Mitch Trubisky.
There's something there, though. Like, I'm not saying Justin Fields is an all-pro, but, like, compared to some of the other quarterbacks that are going to be starting this year, I'm like, seriously? You couldn't find any landing spots? But it was just like, okay, well, the teams that really need quarterbacks are at the top of the draft. And then the other ones that needed quarterbacks made moves in free agency. And then when the dust settled, it was Pittsburgh's the only suitor.
Because, Mark, you said it. It's the money. When people say, why would the Minnesota Vikings take Sam Darnold for $10 million for 1 year? It's because no one wants to pick up that fifth-year option on Justin. Everyone wants to do a 1 year. I think there'd be 15 teams that would do a 1 year wait and see if he was an open market player and he could sign for any dollar amount for 1 year. I think we're talking about a completely different story and a completely different narrative. But because that fifth year option decision is looming, and we all know the Daniel Jones poison pill has been put out there for NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I think it scared a lot of teams off and they said, we can't put ourselves in this position.
Well, what about
Minnesota?
A team
obviously
like,
is looking to trade up. So yeah.
What about a team like the Giants though? That like, again, this is where I think it. Ryan Poole should have picked up the phone and saying like to the Giants or to Seattle, like you're sticking with Daniel Jones beyond this season. Are you sure you want to do that? Are you doing the same thing with and like, look, yes. I'm saying Geno Smith hasn't made the most of his opportunity to turn his career around, but like, you sure you want him to be your guy in 2025 versus to see what potentially you could have with a quarterback entering his fourth season? He's still a young player.
What about the Miami Dolphins? I know that wasn't a team that was out there, but you're telling me they're
Cleveland
trying to make a decision.
Cleveland too. Like before they signed Jameis.
Yeah.
Like you're really going to roll out with Deshaun Watson again after what we've seen with him. And you want to keep kicking that can down the road and making excuses for him when you ran Baker Mayfield out of the town when he tried to play hurt for your team in the final year that he was there? That's what you want to do? This is where if I was Ryan Poles, I'd have gotten on the phone, tried to reason with people and say, give me your best and final offer because he needs to get dealt. Again, before, like, to me, the Bears had the opportunity, instead of waiting for the domino to start the chain reaction with the Kirk Cousins deal to Atlanta, they could have been on the precipice and on the forefront of that. That's just my opinion, Joey.
Well, and I think it's very, and you're bringing up a great point. I think Kirk Cousins was the domino effect. I mean, I don't know if the Atlanta Falcons were completely sold they were going to get Kirk Cousins, but when Kirk Cousins said, we're interested, this changed everything. And it changed everything for the Chicago Bears. And maybe they had to kind of recalibrate too, because maybe in principle they had an idea or a deal in place with Atlanta. And then once Kirk Cousins says, yes, let's take a step back here. And also really quick, how hilarious is it that Deshaun Watson with all of his baggage and all of his guaranteed money, and then you bring in a guy like Justin Fields, Ohio State Buckeye, a dude who, let's be honest, Pittsburgh, look, let's just leave the on-the-field stuff off for a second here. We're talking about the person here. Justin Fields off the field is one of the more intelligent, vulnerable, humankind players, quarterbacks that you're ever going to kind of come across. I mean, it's a little bit of a night and day. When we're talking about baggage here, you know, if we're talking luggage, you know, Deshaun Watson's got one of those big carriers and Justin Fields is coming in with a duffel bag. You know what I mean? So that would have been a really interesting dichotomy there for sure.
And with Atlanta, they're paying Kirk Cousins out the wazoo to do what exactly? Like, I get that it's not the toughest division, but to me, the Georgia connection, like, he's from that area. Like, he went to school at Georgia. You have all these weapons. Look, read option play with Justin Fields and Najee gets me excited. Read option play with Justin Fields and Jaylen Warren gets me excited. Yes. A read option play with Justin Fields and Bijan Robinson in Atlanta backfield. And if I was Poles, I would have gotten on the line and said, look, are you really going to tie? Do you want to tie your future to Kirk Cousins because he's had decent success in Minnesota? Like, he's not going to win you a Super Bowl versus a young player with a young offense where there's still some amount of upside. And we're talking about the fifth-year option, at least for 2024. It's going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than what Atlanta's paying Kirk Cousins. I don't get it. I like, so again, if I was in
real quick, not to be weird, and not to be weird about it, but honestly, like if you want to kind of like pull it back a little bit, like carve the onion a couple of layers, Raheem Morris is now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Who did he just work with the last couple of years? Sean McVay, big Shanahan tree guy. Shanahan, if you look up Shanahan's offense in the dictionary, it's like a picture of Kirk Cousins. Like those guys love Kirk Cousins. The Shanahan offense loves those guys because when they drop the play, he's to give out the ball exactly how it is, scripted, not offbeat, never audible, never deter or anything like that. So I'm wondering, like, you know, was Raheem Morris getting a little consigliere from Sean McVay and said, look, I think Kirk Cousins is the move. You know, just this stuff that kind of really makes you think. Because, Mark, I think I said it on the last time I was on here, when the Bears are going in the tank in September last year, you know, I wanted them to keep Justin Fields, but my belief was that they were going to trade him, and I thought the perfect landing spot was the Atlanta Falcons. Dude gets to go home. They got all these guys on the rookie contracts with Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Drake London. We already just mentioned all of these guys. Gets to play indoors. Gets to play in the NFC South. You know, I thought it was tailor-made for a guy to possibly take over the division. And they decided to go a different route with the 36-year-old Kirk Cousins, who's coming off an Achilles, who, look, they got a great shot at possibly winning the division next year. I know Tampa Bay isn't going anywhere. They got a great shot at winning the division.
Let's review that sentence. They have a great shot at possibly winning the division. Please continue.
But guess what? They're going to be the underdog in the first week, in wild card week, in that first week, in the playoffs. And will they have a home game? Probably not. So that's Kirk Cousins at outdoors. I'm not buying it. I'm not seeing it. I mean, I get it. There's reasons for the Atlanta Falcons to be excited. My buddy William McFadden, who does believe in Falcons, he's still kind of trying to wrap his head around it a little bit. But I just don't see that working. I mean, we got all excited about Derek, a different player. But we got really excited about Derek Carr last offseason. A lot of people going to the New Orleans Saints, and he gets a fresh start, veteran presence, and just wait, blah, blah, blah. And the thing cratered really quickly. There was a lot of holes in that premise, and I see some holes in the premise of giving Kirk Cousins $160 million.
Kirk Cousins is a good dude in the locker room. You can tell his teammates love him, family man. That cachet he built up, though, league-wide, let's just give credit where credit is due. That quarterback Netflix documentary, I think, did him a lot of good when it comes to, how do you view Kirk Cousins? He can be a great dude, and that's fine. But I'm talking about, like, are you going to go win a Super Bowl now if you're Atlanta with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback? If I'm asking the question, you already know the answer.
They literally just had Matt Ryan a couple years ago. Another great dude. Another guy who was awesome at going 7-9. 8-8, maybe toss in a 10-6. Obviously, we're at a 17-game schedule now. What is the difference between Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins other than Matt Ryan won an MVP and went to a Super Bowl? Where exactly are you moving forward the franchise other than just trying to bring back what you already had and hoping that it works with some younger players? Now, look, could it pop for 1 year next year? Sure, but if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, man, I would have been way more excited as a fan bringing in a guy like Justin Fields.
This was the same organization too, that wanted to bring in Deshaun Watson a few seasons back, but then totally poo-pooed the idea of bringing in Lamar Jackson.
Won't even meet with Lamar
Jackson in the NFC.
Unbelievable. He'd be what? Would he be the best quarterback in the NFC right now? The second best?
One of them.
We'd play the game with Jordan Love and Hurts. We'd probably play that game along those lines. So, maybe, I mean, the NFC, Purdy, NFC is wide open. NFC is wide open right now.
Let's change gears a little bit.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, likely the number one pick. Like, this has to be the upside of, okay, maybe you don't get what you want back for Fields, but who cares? It's Caleb Williams' town, or about to be. What are your thoughts, your feelings, your sentiments as we get closer and closer to April, Joey?
I don't want to get into it, but like the Chicago Bears fan base has been going through a tough time. Okay. It's been nasty out there. It's been a Justin versus Caleb. It's been really, really, it's been a dark time for the Chicago Bears fan base. I'm happy that Justin Fields is moving on. I was a Justin Fields fan. But most importantly, everyone, I am a Chicago Bears fan. I want the Chicago Bears to win. I have felt that way since I was born in 1984. So the fact that I'm moving on and I'm willing to accept Caleb Williams, it's not a good for me, but it's an exciting time in Chicago. That is for sure. There is a part of us that doesn't know how to handle it. There is a little bit of a, can we ever have nice things? Because you watch some of the tape and you're like, you're trying to poke holes into it. You're trying to be skeptical. You're trying to be critical. I'm just trying to be realistic. And my realistic expectation is that I think Caleb Williams is an immense, fantastic talent. I think, when it happened, I said, and many of others have now said, it's perhaps the best setup. It's easily the best setup for a first year Bears quarterback in my lifetime. It could perhaps be the best offensive setup for any rookie quarterback in the last 30 or 40 years. So Caleb Williams has that going for him. But at the same time, I need everyone to just kind of relax and be reasonable that rookie quarterbacks, it takes time. He's going to have a dud. There is a strong possibility, and this is where it kind of gets weird with the Eberflus situation, that the Chicago Bears could go 7-10 again this year. And will we be able to handle it? And it's just because the rookie quarterback has to get through some of these bumps. He's got to play in Green Bay. You know what I mean? He's going to have a couple of national night games here and there. How's that going to go? I'm just trying to temper my expectations. I think he's fantastic. I love the arm angles. The unscripted stuff, I could care less. Caleb Williams the other day said, I hate running. I'd rather throw the ball from the pocket. Music to my ears. That was like Vivaldi floating into the room, into my soul. I don't want a quarterback that runs around. I don't want a quarterback that gets hurt. I want him to sit in the pocket, throw the ball 35 times a game, and throw for 280 to 300 yards and multiple touchdowns. I'm incredibly excited. I love the fact that a lot of people are kind of bemoaning that the Chicago Bears only have 4 draft picks right now in this upcoming draft. Number one, 5. Number one, number 9, the third rounder, the fourth rounder, and 1 6th rounder right now. But the Chicago Bears spent their second rounder on Montez Sweat. They spent their other fourth rounder that they got from the Eagles in the Robert Quinn trade from trading back to not take Jalen Carter. They just used that to get Keenan Allen. I think that's a pretty good swap.
Yeah.
And we'll see what they do at number 9. I think that's just as exciting that you're getting Caleb Williams, but also you possibly get to swing at either the best defensive edge in the draft, perhaps one of the top 2 offensive tackles in the draft, and hopefully one of the top 3 receivers in the draft. So when it comes to Caleb Williams, I mean, look, I think the future is bright. I'm just not going to wrap myself into this mode of saying it's all going to happen right now. Could I be surprised and shocked and maybe we go to the playoffs and maybe he is it right away and maybe he ascends to an upper echelon of a class of quarterback in NFC, which is honestly pretty weak right now? It's quite possible, but I'm not going to hang it on the guy this early in his career. It's not fair. If you look around, you know, even Andrew Luck, his first season, I know he won 10 games, but he still threw like 16 picks. Trevor Lawrence wasn't good for his first 16, 17 starts. It takes time, guys. And CJ Stroud, I get it. And if you're throwing CJ Stroud out in the comments, can we just pump the brakes on the dude? He was fantastic last year. But let's see him do it again, for crying out loud, right? Let's just see him do it again. Okay. And then we can crown him, quote Denny Green. So I'm excited. But again, my little Bears heart, I'm reserving judgment. I want to just see the kid grow and develop the best way possible. So I'm not expecting the world from him right off the bat.
Hey, we need the breaking news banner, the IT team. CJ Stroud, he is who we thought he was. I am a lot more bullish on the Texans this year than you are, my friend. And I don't think – go ahead, hop in, Joey.
Oh, I was going to say, please get that Texans thought in. I also, if you want to talk about some breaking news, I did hear some really interesting intel that maybe we can drop as the end of this conversation when you're ready. But I heard some really interesting NFL draft intel that I don't know if it's true or not.
Okay. Hold that thought. I will bring that up at the end.
It's tantalizing. It's a
draft intel at the end of the show. The Bears don't need Caleb Williams to be a top 10 guy right away. If he's top 20 this year, great.
Yes. If he's Justin Fields.
Can he be top 10 by year 2? If he can be top 10 by year 2, then you've got 3 more years with the 5th year option. Then you're ready to roll. I'll be honest with you, and you might not want to hear this. Bears fans have been waiting for forever, and it's like, oh, we've got to go up against Jordan Love and like the youngest team in the league and the Packers. They're just going to continue to get better. Detroit's coming off its run to the NFC Championship game. 2024 for the Bears doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. If everything works out the way that you need it to with Caleb Williams, if he's going to be the guy for the next decade plus. And then it's, what do you do with Eberflus beyond this year? Is he a lame duck? Do you have to start all over again next offseason, potentially with a new coaching staff if he doesn't quite get it done? Because he's kind of in a win now mode as well. So the thing is you don't need Caleb Williams to be a superstar right off the bat. What you need is by year 2, year 3, that's when you need to quickly have him quickly outperform his rookie deal and be one of those guys. And for how highly touted he is, whether you want to compare him to Luck or Trevor Lawrence or one of the other stud quarterbacks that's come out in recent memory.
That's a great point. And if it goes in the trajectory that you're hypothesizing, and if Caleb Williams is maybe sniffing that top 10, top 12 by that second year, and you want to move on from Matt Eberflus, the Chicago Bears then get kind of their pick of the litter of elite coaches. They're going to want to come in and pair their legacy to a guy like Caleb Williams. And there's a lot of different names that could possibly spring up, but you know what I mean? I don't want to get into conjecture right now about who that could possibly
be. Hypothetical. It's too hypothetical. No,
at this point, because you never know. You never know who's going to creep up and crop up, but it just puts them in that position. You know, the same way that Harbaugh wanted to coach Justin Herbert, that same type of scenario with X or Y coach can possibly happen with Caleb Williams.
Okay, so Lincoln Riley's coming up from USC.
Oh, God, no. Please, God, no. Please, God, no. Oh, my God. I've been watching Caleb tape. I've been watching Kurt Warner break down Caleb's tape.
Yeah.
And honestly, Kurt Warner is like cutting out the heart of Lincoln Riley and eating it on the tape of just like, again, another single read. This guy loves hook and go on both sides of the field. I don't understand it. I can't read. I don't know what's going on with Caleb Williams because Lincoln Riley just runs this, that, you know what I mean? Like, it's a mess. No hard pass on Lincoln Riley. Thank God, hard pass on Ryan Day. You know what I mean? When Justin Fields got drafted. But yeah, we'll see.
If Keenan Allen can stay healthy, I really like that combo with DJ Moore and then Cole Kmet. DeAndre Swift in the backfield too. So he's got some weapons and certainly a lot more weapons than Fields had when he was a rookie in Chicago. I think that if it is Williams, and by all indications it will be, he's set up from a personnel standpoint, heck of a lot better than the Bears have done in the past for their quarterbacks.
You ready? You ready for this little, little nugget? You ready for
lay it on me.
Leads into a little bit of what you're talking about right now.
I'm ready.
So, I spoke to someone who, has a connection to the program at Ohio State, strong connection, told me this piece of intel. And then obviously I'm working for, the Big Ten. So I reached out a little bit and tried to see if I can get this confirmed. And they said, well, you're not wrong. So what's going on right now with Marvin Harrison? Marvin Harrison, didn't go to the combine. Mm-hmm. Skipped his pro day.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do interviews.
With the media, I should say. He did the team interviews, but no on-field work either. Skipped out on the media portion.
A lot of people are making jokes, obviously, about him trying to tank his draft status. I'm not going out on a limb to say that's quite possible, or he's just a guy who says, you know what? What do I have to honestly prove? The proof is on the tape and go from there. What I've heard. And I'm just going to be kind of vague about this because I don't want to over confirm anything. But a little intel that I've gathered so far is that there is a possibility that Marvin Harrison is going to try and do something that a wide receiver has never done. Marvin Harrison, and I'm not saying this is going to work, but he's going to try. Marvin Harrison, I think, wants to pick his own team. Quarterbacks have done it before, where they get to pick where they go and where they land. And I think he is going to attempt. I'm not saying he's going to be successful. And honestly, I'm not very optimistic he is going to be successful. But I think this is a part of the process of Marvin Harrison attempting to pick his landing spot. And the team that he wants to go to it could be any team. It could be any team. I'm not sure. Now, look, how is this going to work? I'm not 100% sure. This is just kind of what I've been told. And then I try to follow up with somebody else to be like, hey, does this make any sense? And like, you would actually maybe kind of know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's early in the process right now. My particular team picks at 9. I think there would have to be some sort of move by the Chicago Bears to accommodate, perhaps a request. I'm sorry for being so vague, but I think Marvin Harrison, who is his father is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, who was paired with a Hall of Fame quarterback from very early on in his career. And they went on to make beautiful music together for over a decade. And I just don't know if Marvin Harrison is exactly excited about some of the landing spots that he could possibly be going to. And I know what everyone's thinking. Well, Justin Herbert's a great quarterback. Well, they just hired a head coach and an offensive coordinator that want to run the ball. Does he want to go and catch passes from Daniel Jones? Does he want to catch passes from Kyler Murray? Do the Tennessee Titans, are they even interested in a wide receiver? And is Will Levis the answer there? The Atlanta Falcons just gave Darnell Mooney $39 million. So we'll see what happens. I think it would be really wild, but what I was told is that Marvin Harrison wants to do something that no wide receiver has ever done. And he wants to pick his landing spot of his preferred destination. And his preferred destination just so happens to be a place I might be moving to May 1st with an area code that starts with either 312-773. So I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know how the Bears pulled that off. We can talk some offline, but with the 9th pick, I'd be shocked if Harrison's still on the board. And if his name weren't Marvin Harrison, this is not an original idea. I heard this on the NFL Ringer show. If it was like Larry Harrison, I'd be more with you. But I hear Marvin Harrison, and you do pop on the tape. It's like, who's the most short thing in this draft? He'd probably be my answer. Mm-hmm. So I just don't see him falling all the way to 9. How Chicago moves up, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really sure, given that the Bears,
Carolina's second round pick next year.
Yeah.
Right now, I believe with the draft value costs anywhere between 550 to 660 value points. Mm. And that and another piece would in theory make up the margin that it would take from them to move up from 9 to 4 at this.
Well, time. A trio of DJ Moore, Marvin Harrison, and Keenan Allen. With Keenan Allen, my only question is, can he stay healthy? And when he's on the field, he can produce. There's no doubt about that. And I like that he's a different style of receiver compared to DJ Moore as well. So we will see. I hope, total pro. I hope we can look back on this come late April, a month from now. It's just like our guy, Joey Christopoulos, had it right all along. We'll see how that shakes out.
I mean, I had intel on Russell Wilson to the Bears once, and it didn't happen. But yeah, then it came out that it actually got really close. You know what I mean? And honestly, like what I'm hearing, look, people can say stuff and camps can want certain things. Like Marvin Harrison, of course, who wouldn't want to pick their landing spot, especially when you're a talented player like Marvin Harrison, and you could say all day long that you want to. You know what I mean? You want to manipulate it. And you could say that, but if it's going to happen, I'm still very skeptical that he's going to be able to pull it off. But what I've been told is he is possibly going to attempt something that's never happened in NFL history. So take that honestly for what it's worth, which I'm taking with maybe 2 or 3 grains of sand or salt, if you will. But him missing the workouts and stuff is him trying to control his own destiny. And it will be curious to see how he can continue to maybe further what we've already seen him do. We already know he's skipped these certain things. It'll be interesting to see if he can continue pushing that, or at the end of the day, maybe he puts on an Arizona Cardinals hat and says, I'm so excited.
That's what I think is more likely, but totally. Yeah, I just with the Bears already kind of being set at receiver, but at the same time too, like I know DJ Moore had a terrific season last year. I look at the history of the receiver position with the Bears and, oh man, we could talk about the struggles of quarterbacks, but the lack of production at the receiver position. Like I know Musid Muhammad back in the day where it's like, this is where receivers and offenses go to die. I'd argue that they've all been dinosaurs this entire time. They're already dead, Joey.
All-time Bears receiver has over 5,000 yards. Keenan Allen's walking in with over 10,000 yards. There he is twice as many as the all-time Bears receiver. So,
Joey Christopoulos, please tell people about Believe in Bears, and please give Corey Wooten our best as well. But it is good to see you. The floor is yours for anything that you need to plug.
Mark, you're the man. I love being on Believe in Steelers. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and supporting Mark, Ike, and Believe in Steelers. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy, wherever you enjoy your socials, whether it's Instagram or Twitter. I host Believe in Bears with Corey Wooten. You can get that wherever you get your podcasts. Our full episodes usually air on Sports Talk Chicago on YouTube. You can make sure you check that out. Chicago Bears have been in the news recently, so you could probably see us on Bally Sports or on Reach TV through the Believe Network. That's it, man. Or follow my work at Beyond the Big Ten. Hey, it's March Madness season right now. A lot to check in on there. I got Illinois going all the way. They look pretty good today.
I love the homerism.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, baby. Oh, I'm a Northwestern guy, but I have Illinois going all the way because Terrence Shannon, I think, is the bucket getter of March Madness. I think he could possibly be that Kemba Walker, the dude that's just one of these guys every year, every once in a while. This dude just gets buckets. Could possibly be them. Follow us at Beyond the Big Ten. Mark, good to see you, brother.
Joey, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. And five stars and five stars only for his podcast, Believe in Bears. Believe in Steelers on Apple and Spotify. Five stars and five stars only. If you're on YouTube, please do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button. Thank you to today's presenting sponsors, BetOnline and Cut.com. That'll do it for the both of us. For Joey Christopoulos, our guest, I'm Mark Berg, and thanks for watching the Believe in Steelers show. See you next time. Take care. So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.